Dermatol.
Welcome to America Tonight. My name's Kate Delaney. We're going to rock and roll all over the place, left to the right and somewhere in between. I don't care what your political stripes are, just have an opinion. And you can throw your two cents in on this overnight highway of conversation. Well, you know how much, if you've listened at all, that I like polls. Check this out. Almost three-fourths of American voters believe that the U.S. is embroiled in way too many foreign wars and needs to pull back. This is a poll from The Hill. In addition to the 72%, that's a big number, who say the U.S. troops are spread too thin. Boy, I agree with that. Voters polled say having U.S. soldiers fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq hasn't made the homeland safer. What do you think? Do you think we're safer because we have guys rotating in and out of, especially Afghanistan now, but still Iraq? We still have troops in Iraq. Only 16% say the U.S. involvement in so many foreign wars is appropriate. Boy, that's a big word. So only 16 even think it's appropriate that we're there. 12% say they aren't sure. Not really sure. They're confused by what they're hearing. Afghanistan specifically, 37% say the presence of U.S. troops doesn't help national security. 37%. I guarantee 80% of this audience feels that way. 800-259-5791. How about that? I'm giving you the digits right at the top. From the White House spokesperson Jay Carney said this earlier in the day when it came to Afghanistan.
He's reviewing the options and the assessments, and we'll have an announcement to make soon.
But what a difference a few hours can make. Later in the day, news broke that the president is going to announce some very critical steps in what's going to happen in Afghanistan. In other words, troops might be heading home, pulling out the troops, bringing thousands back next month. And an actual plan. Do you believe an actual strategy? A blueprint. And the blueprint, supposedly, is one that Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, and others in control, would be able to use toward shoring up their own security by 2014. What a change of heart. Maybe they saw the polls that were coming out. Because trust me, the people around the president, you know what they do? They get hysterical over polls. I know this to be a fact. It doesn't matter what the administration is. The people who want to reelect the president care what the pulse of the nation is. And there is something to this polling thing, even though it's a small amount. And there is a margin of error. As I said, I think this audience would probably be at least 80%, right? So the president is finalizing plans. But even with that, there are people that are pulling in all kinds of directions. The military guys, the commanders, those in the field don't want this. Because they think if it's not a gradual reduction after everything that's been sacrificed, that Afghanistan will just go back to the way it was. What do you think, folks? Do you think Afghanistan was going to go back to the way it was anyway? Not to be cynical, but I think so. I'm not a commander on the field. I only get information that I can garner from people that I've talked to and, of course, other sources reporting it, things that some of us all see. And I get the sense from people that we've even had on the show not too long ago that while they feel very empowered and they get a sense of pride that swells up inside them when they're helping people in these villages, ultimately because of the illiteracy and how hard it is to live in some of these places, what happens is it's about surviving. So if surviving means, oh, the Taliban's going to give me a couple of bucks, then I got to do that because the U.S. is leaving. The others are leaving. The rest of the NATO forces, they're leaving. So I got to feed my family. I got to go with what's working here. I hate to be cynical. I'd like to think it's not that way. July troops will be leaving. How many? What's the ultimate strategy? Not broad stroke, but specific strokes. This is what supposedly is going to come out. We'll see. Wednesday that happens in Washington. Then on Thursday, the president is going to visit Fort Drum. This is significant for a big reason, because it's an upstate military base in New York, upstate New York. And it's home to those who sacrificed the most. Those who really have sacrificed in this war effort in both Afghanistan and Iraq. It's the 10th Mountain Division, and they're deployed constantly. They think they're done, they're deployed again. Oop, one more time. Three times the charm. Boom. Deployed again. So I want to know how many. What would status, if you think we need to get out of there, hightail it out of there, what would be the number that should leave? Here would be a big move. If, because you think the surge, you had 30,000 that were then inserted into Afghanistan 2 years ago. Imagine if 60% of the troops were withdrawn. That would be big cojones for the administration. I don't think so. The number that I'm told is much smaller than that, somewhere in the vicinity of maybe 35%. Probably right on the nose, 35% of the troops. If it were to be a big number like 60, woo. So the map is being drawn and will be revealed to us on Wednesday. Those with people serving maybe are breathing a little sigh of relief and hoping it's true and hoping they'll get back faster, sooner rather than later. Defense Secretary Robert Gates is one who does not agree. He thinks the drawdown should be very, very modest, and it's very risky to do this. That if we were to do it quickly, then what would happen is Afghanistan would just collapse into what it was. Because there has been some security impacts in that country. And there has been success in dismantling most of Al-Qaeda, most of that network. Wonder what Al-Zawahiri thinks. He's probably very excited to find out how many troops are leaving, because I'd have to think along that Afghanistan-Pakistan border, he's very much invested, supposedly as the new head of Al-Qaeda, that network. There are a lot of people on the Hill who don't want to continue to fund Afghanistan. There's definitely pressure there because of the cost of prolonging the war. And you just have to think of this. The cost of prolonging the war, is it a benefit to us? Are there benefits to the U.S. in this? I just told you what the Hill poll said. 72% say one of the biggest problems is we're spread too thin. You got it. We're involved in too many wars. The sentiment, I think, is mostly for withdrawal. 800-259-5791. Coming up a little later on this program for something completely different, we're going to talk about domain names. Do you even know what domain names are? This is smart audience, you know. You have $185,000, you could start a domain yourself. Anybody got some spare change?
Are you a leader or board member of a newer nonprofit? Then you're building your nonprofit while wondering, are we doing this right? Well, stop wondering and start listening. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark to hear nuts and bolts advice about fundraising, planning, finances, and more. The conversations are geared to newer leaders like you. So boost your nonprofit know-how and confidence. Tune into WebTalkRadio.net and Nonprofit Spark today.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now, it's here now. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter in backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This summer sale is going on now through June 25th. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
Texas Congressman Ron Paul, who just a couple days ago talked about and won a straw poll in New Orleans, talked about the fact that people are just tired of the U.S. military involvement in global conflicts in general and are very worried about the economy. That this endless, undeclared, I loved his statement. I'm going to say it exactly. He said, endless, undeclared, unwinnable wars dumped on the young people, coupled with a soaring national debt. He's right. He struck a chord with people. Yeah, it's just a straw poll, but he won it over Mitt Romney, who didn't even show up for this one, and a slew of others. Remember, also, he won the straw poll at CPAC, at that convention, the tail end of last year. That says something. And then did pretty well in those debates in New Hampshire. And the thrust of his message is about this U.S. military involvement. So now suddenly the president is saying, okay, supposedly he's saying, he's going to say on Wednesday, he's crafting the message that there is a strategy, there is an end game here, and we're going to start withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. But how many? 10%? 10% would be nothing. That'd be ridiculous. It has to be, to really show any kind of seriousness about making this happen fast, it would have to be, I think, in my mind, it has to be 40%. It might not be 40 because that's not the number I heard. If it was 60, how huge would that be? But the generals don't want it because they know they're going to lose ground, they think anyway, to Al-Qaeda and the Taliban and anybody else who wants to whip up on the villagers. Let's go to Jay in New York. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Jay. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call, man. What's on your mind?
Well, you know, the drawdown and everything that they're talking about now. If they withdraw the troops at 60%, no good for the United States. If they withdraw them at 40%, no good for the United States. If they do less than that, no good for Afghanistan, no good for our friends in Pakistan, no good for anybody, really. You got to keep them over there. And the reason I say that is because of the economy. You're looking at drawing down 18,000 troops coming back to the States, going back to their home, going back to their military bases, whatever.
Sure.
Most of them will be getting out of the service after they have spent their ages overseas. And, you know, where are they going to go to work?
Oh, but Jay, what a terrible thing to think of it. You have a very good point, but what a terrible way to look at this. Geez, you know, we know you made sacrifices. You're in your second deployment. Oop, you were part of that division in New York. You're going on your third deployment. I know some of your buddies didn't make it back, and I know that, you know, you sacrificed a limb, but we got to keep you over there.
It's the same thing that happened, you know, in just not every war that we've had except for World War II.
Yeah.
You know, all the troops came home. It was a huge downpour of people coming back to the United States. And about the only reason that they were able to survive was because the economy had turned around because of the war. And, you know, we have the economy that has gone in the toilet since the war, and because of the war, because there's nobody really wants to play the game to win it. They want to do the same thing they did in Vietnam. They want to appease the people at home, and they want, you know, when the Bush administration was over there raising hell, all the liberals were out in the market squares with their signs, you know, Bush lied, soldiers died, blah, blah,
sure,
blah.
Sure.
And nowadays, you know, we're seeing death among the U.S. troops again, and I don't see any liberals standing out there with Obama lied, troops died.
You know, touche.
You know, I live in a college town, and unfortunately, the professors that teach here, they're out there marching with the, you know, getting the kids excited and marching out there with them. And, you know, they even import people from Vermont to come over and march in the square, and you know, honk if you want to, make, you know, honk if you hate Bush. And I haven't seen that since November of 2008. I drive
you
around.
Know, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting what you brought up. I'm glad you painted a good picture for us to show what it's like, certainly at that campus, and by the way, in other campuses as well. What is interesting is, you know, it's all about getting reelected. I don't care if you're a Republican, Democrat, whoever. I said this before. We know this. This is the game of politics and the people around a president. So they definitely realize, because there have been troops that have come back that have a hard time finding a job. They definitely know that if there was a lot of the troops coming back, that there would have to be positions found for them. So if we bleed the money over there and people still complain about the money, well, to your theory, it doesn't matter. They're still working. Their families are getting the paycheck, or if they're single, they're getting the paycheck and banking it or whatever they're doing with it. But if there was a huge influx of these troops coming back, what would that do to the economy, and what would that do to Obama's chances of getting reelected once the economic numbers went even further in the toilet, because they're already at 9.1%, and actually I think that number's higher. But let's say you had 15% unemployment, some crazy number that was officially that number, which would be a huge jump anyway from 9.1. But there is something to that, Jay. It's interesting looking at it that way. But I don't think the number I heard from somebody very reliable at the Pentagon was 35%. So 35% is, to your way of thinking, is a number that still wouldn't be good for the U.S. economically. What do you think of?
We're going to bring them back.
Yeah.
And we're gonna put them out on the street, and the jobs that are available, and I get the U.S. job board practically every day, and the employment for the military is all in public service jobs.
Yeah.
They want TSA, they want security, they want computer techs, they want the people that have been in the battlefield working for the government.
Right.
And so you have gone from, you know, being a captain, lieutenant, major, lieutenant, colonel, whatever, and you want to get the heck out of there because you're tired of getting shot at and tired of not being hurt on the battlefield. So you want to get out and become a, you know, a security guy for the government. Well, guess what? You just move from one government job to another government job, and still you're not doing anything to enhance the private sector and build jobs, quote unquote, that everybody else is talking about building jobs, because it's just another cross the board transfer from the military to the civil sector, where you're going to work and be an employee of the government for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Good point, Jay. Good call. Call me again. Good stuff.
Right.
I mean, I agree with a lot of what he said, although I truly believe, Jay, and others listening, that number is right. I think it is going to be 35%, maybe even a little bit higher. But he does bring up the other side of this. Then what happens? And I know this all too well, having friends who served and friends who got bachelor's and master's that way and find themselves stuck in a cycle that he's talking about. Sometimes they get the job alerts, I think it may be the same ones he's mentioning, maybe not, but they'll get things where they say encouraging military to come out to this job fair. Boeing's going to be there, and other people are going to be there who want to hire military people. But they really don't get those. A lot of them really don't get those jobs. Maybe the cream of the crop, the decorated guys, although they usually are military careerists and they stay and move around and whatnot. So that's not always accurate either. But it's tough, and it's very tough. And I cannot say enough to the people who sacrifice in previous wars and currently in what we're doing. It's I think, such a shame when they come back where, yes, you could be at a game, you could be at a hockey game, you could be at a, you know, you could be at a basketball game, you could be somewhere in a big arena, and I think it's great they recognize military folks that are there and people stand up and all that. But then they're like the forgotten. Unless you have family that serve, unless you really think about it, and I'm not saying everybody feels that way, but there is a disconnect, and certainly with Iraq and Afghanistan, it's been that way. So what's the answer? And I still say the answer is that you had military intervention in Iraq, and did that, how much difference did that make to U.S. safety? How much safer are we as we sit in Afghanistan? 800-259-5791.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Big Berkey water filters are in high demand. Storable foods are also in high demand. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has always kept our focus on the Berkey water filter products, but increasingly, our customers have been asking for storable foods. After months of research, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com now offers great-tasting, long-lasting, storable foods. foods. These ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches. All you do is just add water. And because they're sealed so well, they come with a 25-year shelf life. Combine our Berkey water filters, which are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water with our storable foods, and you have a winning combination. Remember, we offer free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's Big Berkey waterfilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. Air and Aqua.com. Purify your life today.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with you Himbi and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
The numbers. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America, tonight. We're talking about Afghanistan and why. Well, we've been talking about Afghanistan for a long time, ever since I started this show. And before that, when I was actually doing a sports talk show in New York, Afghanistan did come up. We used to do things with some of the troops, and we would broadcast our show on the Armed Forces Radio. It would be fun. A lot of the guys would call in and ask about the Giants and the Jets and all that kind of stuff. So I really feel as though too often, and I don't think deep down people intentionally mean this, but there is a disconnect with some of the people, especially what they call the grunts who serve in the military, who come back and then it's like, is that all there is? After the horrific things some of the frontline guys have seen. Well, the answer is, when we're invested in these tiresome wars that are just going round and round in circles, I mean, how often have people called America Tonight to say, well, look what happened with the Russians. They knew. They said forget about it. They were out. They realized they were done. They couldn't do it in Afghanistan. And so here we come, and it's been over a decade, our longest war. We could talk about Vietnam. You could talk about all the other wars, but this is the longest war. So now, how do you get to the end? Every story and every war has a beginning, a middle, and an end. So what is the end game? The president apparently has one, and we're going to find out what it is on Wednesday. There's going to be a blueprint for the Afghanistan government as far as getting their security forces together, making sure that this country is secure. That sounds so ridiculous to say that, though, doesn't it? we're going to leave Afghanistan secure as our last troops pull away from Afghanistan as they jump on board see whatever's cargo planes that are huge, because now I know they have a couple different ones, and head back to the United States. You know, the point being, what happens to Afghanistan, okay, but people are tired and fatigued of the war. They're tired of it. That's why Ron Paul, in a alphabet soup of people who are running for president on the Republican side of things, is getting a little extra attention. Because he didn't care when he this is what he truly believed and has said all along, we need to cut clean. We need to get out of the wars. We need to get out of Afghanistan. We need to get out of Iraq because we're too involved in all these global conflicts, not just there but elsewhere. And our economy is toast. We're dumping too much money on these situations where we're not, what are we coming back with? What are we leaving these countries with? You can throw in your 2 cents, 800-259-5791. Let's go to Don in Wyoming. Hey, Don.
Hello, Kate. Hey, before I forget, did you catch Super 8 yet?
I didn't, but it's on my list to see this weekend.
Okay. Well, I was just curious. Hey,
Let me stop you there. I did read, after you said that, I did read some really good reviews on it, that the whole thing, you said that it was well done all the way through, and the reviews I read said the same thing, that it's just got all these, you don't even know how they pull it together. It's got sort of a roller coaster ride of emotions. It's a little mixture of different genres.
Yeah. So I'm just curious if you've seen yet. So tell me what you thought. So hopefully you'll catch that one. It's highly recommended. Like I said, if you've got teenagers, good movie to take your teenagers to. I caught Popper's Penguins, and that would be for the non-teenagers, the younger kids. And it was great. You know, I've never seen Jim Carrey that mild-mannered in a film before. So, I mean, he didn't cut up one. I mean, you know, where he gets kind of vulgar and, you know, kind of crazy at times, but he was completely under control, and, you know, and well, other than the Truman Show, you know, but any case, so scary looking, though. You're looking like you're getting older. You know what, Kate? Guess it's happening to all of us, right?
Oh, that's scary to say that. I think of him in The Mask, although that was probably 100 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, though, is that what the big cry is now? That's the reason why the American economy is doing so bad is because we're spending all this money over in Afghanistan and Iraq. And you know, if you remember prior to 08, Kate, we were spending money in Afghanistan and Iraq, and our economy was booming pretty good. You know, so, you know, but I do agree, you know, you're right. You know, what's the end game? Because the president's going to say so. I think the only thing I'm worried about is, you know, we talked a lot about this. You know, this was going on in Iraq when all of it, when that first started out, is that, you know, we can go over there and get rid of the bad guy, you know, Saddam, get the Taliban, Al-Qaeda out of Afghanistan, which, of course, they're all hiding over in Pakistan right now, and crossing the border, doing their little hit and runs, going back, being wimps, you know, hiding behind women and children. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But in any case, though, you know, we can leave these people, you know, go over there and do this for them. And then the question is, you know, what happens when we, you know, when we leave, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we're offering them democracy. And so far, Iraq has got a so-so democracy going on, you know. And hopefully, you know, Afghanistan is maybe a little bit more shakier. You know, of a democracy, slash, I'm not sure if it's really democracy or if Karzai's a dictator yet, but in any case, though, you know, we go in and we offer this to these people, okay?
Right.
Now, is it our job to stay there for eternity to make sure that they take hold of that gift that we're giving to them? You know, I say no, you know, So there has to be a point to where we pull, we say, you know what? We've done our best for you. Here you go. This is what we have to offer you. If you want to be Democratic, you want to have McDonald's on every corner of your street, you know, every town, whatever, you know, you have that opportunity right now. But, you know, we can't sit there forever and force feed them something that they may not want, you know. The Iraqis, they may not want democracy. They've never had it before. You know, hopefully they'll take hold of it. You look at all these people that are rioting all over the, you know, trying to get rid of all these dictators, Yemen and Syria and, you know, and Libya and already in Tunisia and Egypt, and they're trying to get rid of these dictators because they all seem like they're screaming for democracy, you know. They want a better life, and they figure, yeah, we got to get rid of these guys and get some kind of better life. We can't force feed our beliefs to them, Kate, you know.
Absolutely.
And since I agree with, you know, these people that are running for the presidency, et cetera, there's got to be something where we pull. We can't just yank everyone out overnight. It's got to be a rapid withdrawal. We were at 160,000 troops in Iraq at our peak, and now I think it's down to under 40,000.
Yeah.
You know, it was a gradual reduction. I don't know, what we're at 100,000 or 110,000, I think, in Afghanistan. Gradual reduction, you know. But eventually we can't, you know, we cannot sit there and say, you know, we're going to force feed our beliefs into you. They have to make that choice. Then the question is, after they make that choice, what happens? You know, the one thing, all these people that are screaming for us to get out, I want them to be on record as saying that. Because you know what, Kate? If we get attacked again because of a country that we left, that we went in and used our blood to help liberate our young soldiers that we've been talking about, we went in there. My friend, you know, lost his son, father of four children and a wife, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, if his blood goes down a drain because, you know, all of a sudden these same countries are being taken back over by either a tyrant dictator or Islamic jihadist or whatever that
sure.
want to destroy our country and attack us again, then how are they going to make those people who go on, you know, who stand up right now and say, you know, how many times, you know, sit there and say, hey, you know, I was the one that back in 2011 said we need to get out of there. And now we're in 2015 and we just got attacked again by some crazy group out of Afghanistan. And we don't want that. Obviously, that's the one thing I think that's the worry about most of the people involved in this, in these decisions, is that we don't want any of these places to be breeding grounds for
terrorism. Yeah.
You know. And Kate, I'm glad the guy in New York brought something up, and he didn't really leak to this much about, you know, but we've had an awful lot of our people gone over there, you know, and some of them are having adjustment problems coming back into the States, you know.
18 suicides a day.
You know, and that's so sad, you know.
It is so sad.
You know, because we tend to just live our lives, and we know these things are going on, and, you know, it's not like, you know, when we were in World War II or, you know, where they had, every time you went to theater, you know, you saw a big broadcast of all the battles that were going on and thousands of guys dying. It's just, but people are dying over there, you know. We
yeah.
just lost a Marine last week from Wyoming. Big thing they did for his funeral and all. And, you know, it's important to, you know, and I'm glad they're not running around and acting like they did there in Vietnam and, you know, and calling these guys baby killers or whatever, you know. They've gone over there, they're doing their duty, they're coming back. A lot of them are having a hard time to adjust. And all I can say is if you run into one, you know, just give them a hug or give them a punch in the shoulder and tell them thanks, you know.
Yeah, I agree. Just to total strangers, absolutely. I love some of what I've seen. Thanks, Don. I love just recently flying back east where twice somebody in the military, they just put them right up in first class. I thought that was great. Stay with us. You want to throw in your 2 cents on Afghanistan? Big announcement coming on Wednesday, 800-259-5791. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
The largest part of gaining radiant health is detoxification. You can drink ionized water, cleanse your intestines, eat a perfect diet, and even take lots of quality supplements, and in many instances, only make minimal progress. What is the key to detoxifying your body of mercury, heavy metals, chemicals, and drugs? It is glutathione. Glutathione is the master antioxidant used to detoxify your entire body. It stops free radicals, keeps cells young, and reduces inflammation. One World Whey protein powder may be able to raise your glutathione production by 64% or more. One World Whey is more effective than any other whey protein powder on the market because it is unheated and from grass-fed cows. All other, quote, cold-processed whey protein powders have been heated and damaged by 15% or more. One World Whey comes in three delicious flavors. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Get past the beef, forget past the shit, man. Get on time, get on time, get on. I want to get on your good foot. Get on your good foot. Get on your good foot. Your good foot. Go down the good that don't stand out. Show the people I don't know what it's about. Look down the curb that don't think I'm out. But show the people I don't know what it's about. The people inside are taking pain and dancing to the beat of the soldier band. You know the good.
So the president is going to announce an Afghan troop drawdown. My sources say 35%. Some people think that's way too much, including many of the commanders. They don't agree with what's been leaking out as to what the number might be. I don't even know if that number's leaked out. That's the number that I got. But people can certainly speculate on what it is. Is it 30%, 35%? Is it a crazy number that's higher? Is it less than that? What does it mean? What is the plan? What is the end game? What is the strategy? Somebody tell us. And the president is supposedly going to do that on Wednesday. So fair or foul, is this a good thing? Or do I dare say some of you think it's a bad thing? Well, I think there are people that believe we should stay in Afghanistan and think that this is a way to hold off terror, and this is a way to switch the hearts and the minds of the people? Are they winning the people over? And what's interesting about Afghanistan, much different than Iraq, there was more money in Iraq. In Afghanistan, illiterate people, 90+% of the people are illiterate. And only are concerned with surviving, with getting food to feed their family, with having shelter. So it's been tough for the troops because they've had to do that. They've had to win over the people, try to win over the people as much as they can, with snipers often trained right on them. Because sometimes in the hairiest parts of that country, that's exactly what happens to the guys on the front line. They know when they're walking into a village, there are snipers who have their sights, so to speak, right on them. And you just think of the sacrifice that's been made. And I just want you to think of your own life. And maybe this isn't how you are. Maybe it's okay if you don't win. Maybe it's okay if there isn't a point to what you're doing at work. But for me, that doesn't work. It's not good. Now we have these kids, you know, people call it the nanny state in some of these schools where, oh, you can't play kickball and everybody gets a ribbon. Well, if I had a child, I hate to say it, I don't like that. I think there should be a first, a second, and a third so that you teach your child about competitiveness, about goals, about, you know, getting, arriving at something, working toward something. And maybe I'm ridiculous and completely off base with this, but I don't think so. I don't think so. So you have a group of dedicated people who have gone again and again, sacrificed family, sacrificed moments, births, children taking their first steps, all kinds of things, kids graduating from high school, whatever, personal things, stress on the marriage, everything that you could possibly, you know, think of. And they sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. Well, yes, they're following orders. And yes, in the military, you do that. You have an assignment and you're doing it. But see, there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. So what is the end? If it's not winnable, what is the end? And that's what I want to hear. What is the end game here? And I'm sure what the president will say is, Afghanistan is a nation, we're making strides, and the security factor has increased, and we want to make sure before we leave, ultimately, that Afghanistan has its own security forces ready to and do whatever they have to do, whatever they encounter, that they can stand on their own as a country. And I mean, I can almost write the speech if I had a few hours in a room and could write like his speech writer does. I almost know the gist of what he's going to say. Of course, it's going to be all positive and all pomp and circumstance. Of course, it's going to be that. 800-259-5791. Curious, we're bringing it full circle as we've talked about this entire hour. Afghanistan, a huge story. A huge story in so many people's lives. John in Missouri, you get a crack at this. Hey, John.
How are you doing tonight, Kate?
I'm good. John, what do you think? Should we stay? Should we go? Ultimately, what's the answer?
I think that they need to quit getting in wars that they don't have any intention of winning, for one.
There you go. Yep.
And I think when they draw the troops down, there was a gentleman earlier who was talking about how they would be like a burden on our economy. I think that for a while that the military, they shouldn't just get rid of them, but we have a border that needs to be secured. We have an invasion of illegal aliens. We have all kinds of disasters all over the country that could use some cleaning up and some work done on them.
Sure.
So that would be a good transition thing for them to do for a while. You know, there's lots of stuff that needs to be done in the United States. And with the military, they have all the cool equipment to secure the borders, so.
I like that idea, but you and I and a handful of others stand alone with that. You think of how porous it is, particularly in Arizona, and the sad, tragic things that are happening there. John, you probably know this, where there's so many people that end up, that are crossing, that are victims really of coyotes, where you have women, kids, even adult males, whatever, they find their bodies. They have no place for them in the morgue, so they're in refrigerated trucks, and they don't even know their names.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We have to secure it. Yeah, they kill them all the time. So really, even for the protection of the people who are not drug runners, who are not gang members, who are coming over to be with their family that's in the country illegally, because they can get a job at the plant or they can get a job at somebody's home as a gardener, a housekeeper, or whatever. They want that freedom. They want that money because they can't make it in Mexico. Felipe Calderon doesn't ever really talk about the fact that his country is definitely a third world country where you're either rich or you're poor and there's very little in between. So our country sacrifices because of that. And why not? You're right. Why not have troops helping out the border patrol? I agree. I mean, that's probably one of the areas where you could work troops in. Hey, thanks for the call. Anybody who wants to get in, we're going to go to email. Well, we're almost up against it. I was going to say maybe one quick call, but 800-259-5791. You know, the question does beg to be answered. What happens next? We have a caller, Lorraine in Missouri as well. Hey, Lorraine.
Okay. I don't suppose my idea is too original, but when they have the drawdown of troops, there might be a lot of men who would like to stay and make a good salary, trying to work as teachers, to work in construction, and they would be paid by our government, and these people would be doing some good jobs over there in Afghanistan, and they could live there. I mean, maybe they'd sign up for a year or two, something similar to like a Peace Corps type situation. They would draw a real good salary. They would be helping rebuild parts of that country, although so much in our country needs rebuilding. But these would be some of the troops that would maybe want to stay behind voluntarily to make that extra money so that if they stayed there for a year, then mm-hmm. they could go back home to America. And maybe because they would be doing good things like teaching in schools, things of that nature.
Sure, sure. It's an interesting idea because, Lorraine, it's already happening. You have people who are not in the military who work contract for companies. I have a cousin, in fact. Thanks for the call. I have a cousin, in fact, named Lucky, who's a chef, and the money was good. He has a young family, and he went over, and the idea was that he was going to be a cook, of course. What is he doing? In very dangerous areas, he is getting paid well, but in dangerous areas, he's moving equipment from base to base, and this is a private contractor. That would be probably mostly what some of the guys could get. I don't think the military would do that, but they, in conjunction with contractors, there would be things that could be done. Gray Bear writes us and says, unfortunately, whatever we build, they blow up rapidly, talking about illegals and the border and what you could do with troops. Interesting conversation.